In the passage of Scripture, which I read to you this morning, from Psalm 107, and the verses 1 through to 9, we read of a redeemed people. Now I know that in this Psalm 107, that there is a historical setting. I know that in the context of this psalm, that it refers to the children of Israel and their experiences in the wilderness, and the children of Israel being brought right through to the promised land. But there is much in this psalm of a spiritual nature, which is of great benefit to all those who are the redeemed of the Lord, to all those who have been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is much in this psalm that sounds forth a warning to any who are outside of Christ, who have never been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, who have never been washed in the blood of Christ. From Psalm 107, and the verses 4 through to 9, and other relevant scriptures, I want to look at a threefold description given here in Psalm 107 of the child of God. A threefold description of the child of God. And also, I want to sound forth a warning to any in the meeting who are still in their sins, who are still outside of Christ, who have never been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. First of all, from this psalm, we are given a description of the child of God's position in the past. If you look at verses 4 and 5, we see in the first part of the verse 4, the psalmist says, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. And dear child of God, there was a time in the past when we wandered in the wilderness of this world in our sin. And we did that because we were born into this world, sinners by nature, and therefore sinners by practice. But the psalmist goes on to say in the latter part of the verse 4, they found no city to dwell in. And dear believer in Christ, there was a time in the past when we were not on that narrow road that leads to heaven and to home, but we were on that broad road that leads to destruction and to ruin. We were on that broad road that leads to hell itself. But the psalmist goes on to say, in regard to the child of God's position in the past, in the verse 5, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Dear child of God, there was a time in the past when we hungered and thirsted after many things. We hungered and thirsted after the things of this world, and we were looking for satisfaction in this world, but we could never find true and lasting satisfaction, as it says here in verse 9 of this passage of Scripture, our souls fainted within us. And that was our condition and our position in the past. Please turn to Ephesians chapter 2, please. The book of Ephesians chapter 2. And you will see in Ephesians chapter 2 that Paul gives us a fit and good description of what the child of God was in the past. Please look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. And remember that we are looking at the child of God's position in the past. Paul says, here, and he's speaking to believers in Christ. He's speaking to believers in Christ. He says, "And you hath he, the God, the Holy Spirit, quickened, who were," past tense, "who were dead in trespasses and in sins." And there was a time, dear child of God, when we were dead in trespasses and in sins. We had no spiritual life. We were dead to God. But it goes on to say, "wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world." And there was a time in the past, dear believer in Christ, when we walked according to the course of this world. We didn't walk according to the Bible. We didn't walk according to the ways of God. But we walked according to the course of this world. And it goes on to say, "according to the prince of the power of the air." Now, who does that speak of? It speaks of the devil, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that thou worketh in the children of disobedience. You see, there was a time in the past when we were disobedient. We didn't obey the message of the gospel. We didn't obey the great message of the gospel to repent of our sins and to receive and rest upon Christ and Christ alone for salvation. We were children of disobedience. We disobeyed God. We went on in our sin and we did not obey the gospel. And you know, the devil himself, he was within us, as it says here, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And we'll look at that in a wee minute or two in regard to that. But it also goes on to say, "among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." We were children of wrath. At that particular time, dear child of God, the wrath of God abided on us. We were on that broad road that leads to destruction and ruin. The wrath of God abided on us. So we can see here very clearly from Psalm 107 and the verses that we have looked at in verses 4 and 5. We have seen here from Ephesians chapter 2 the position of the child of God in the past. But let me speak a word of warning this morning to any in the meeting who are outside of Jesus Christ. For what it says here of the child of God and what we were in the past is now your position at this very moment. If you're outside of Jesus Christ, if you have never come to Jesus Christ, what I have said and what the Bible says about the child of God's position in the past is now your position and condition at this very moment in the present. As you sit here in this gathering this morning, if you're not saved, if you're outside of Christ, this is your very position this morning. You see, you are still dead in trespasses and in sins. You're in this meeting this morning and you're not saved. You've never come to Christ. Well, you're dead. Yes, you walked into that through those doors this morning. You're alive as far as that is concerned, but I'm speaking about your soul. You are dead in trespasses and in sins. You have no spiritual life. And you are separated from God because of your sin. You are still wandering in the wilderness of this world in your sin. You are still on that broad road that leads to destruction and ruin. You're still on that broad road that leads to hell itself. And you know, you have no true and lasting satisfaction. You are still seeking for satisfaction in the things of this world. But I'm sure you will have to confess that. You know, there's no true and lasting satisfaction for the soul in this world. It may feel fine for a few hours or for a day or whatever the case may be. But you see, at the end of it all, you will still be empty. Because it's only Christ Himself who can give that true and lasting satisfaction. And you are still walking according to the course of this world. You are still walking according to the prince of the power of the air, the devil, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You see, the devil's purpose, and I've related to this already, the devil's purpose is to keep you from coming to Jesus Christ. He wants you to continue on in your disobedience, in your sin. He does not want you to obey the message of the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 says that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. And you see, it's the devil's purpose to blind your mind and to blind your eyes. He does not want you to even think or to see of your great need of repenting of your sin and obeying the gospel and coming to Christ for salvation. And you know what the end result will be? And this is what the devil's purpose is. We'll turn to 2 Thessalonians, please. 2 Thessalonians. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians and the chapter 1. And reading from verse 7 through to the verse 10. And here the Apostle Paul is speaking to believers in Christ and giving them a word of comfort in regard to the second coming of Christ and what's going to happen in regard to them at the second coming of Christ. But also he has a word for those who don't come to Christ while upon this earth and what is going to happen to them. And what does it say? Verse 7, to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints. You see, the purpose of the devil is to make sure that you do not think about the gospel. His purpose is to keep you from coming to Christ for salvation. And we see that the end result is, to them that obey not the gospel, it says, they shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his point. And when's this going to take place? When he shall come to be glorified in his saints. So we see the wonderful blessing we have for the children of God, but we see the terrible damnation for those who do not obey the message of the gospel. You see, if you're in this meeting outside of Christ, you are still fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. You are still by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Romans 1 and verse 18, Paul says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. John 3 and verse 36 says, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And if you're in this meeting this morning outside of Christ, the wrath of God still abides upon you. But thank God, you can be saved. That's the good news of the gospel. Thank God you can be saved from the wrath to come. Thank God you can be saved from hell. Why do I say that? Because the Bible teaches us and reveals to us that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he met and satisfied every demand of God's holy law, the precepts of the law, the penal demands of the law. He satisfied divine justice. He paid in full the great price that needed to be paid for sin at the cross of Calvary. And dear sinner friend in this meeting, if you come to Jesus Christ, if you come and confess your sin, not to me, but to Christ, if you confess your sin to God, if you call upon the name of the Lord for salvation, the Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You will be saved from the wrath to come. But if you don't, then as I have already quoted from John 3 and verse 36, you will experience the full measure of the wrath of God forever and forever. The child of God's, we have already looked at here this morning. We have looked at this first point, the child of God's position in the past. But secondly this morning, I want to look at the child of God's position and possessions now in the present. Please look at what it says in Psalm 107 verses 6 through to 9, please, where we are given a description of the child of God's position and possessions now in the present. The psalmist says, "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." What a description we have here in these verses. Verses 6 and 9 through to 9, of what happens to the regenerated soul, to those by the grace of God are given that grace to call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. What a description we have here of what happens to the regenerated soul. Thank God, dear believer in Christ, that we can look back to a time when we, who were dead in trespasses and in sins, who were separated from God because of our sins, became possessors of new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit, through the merits of the atoning blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God, dear believer in Christ, that we are possessors of justification. Thank God we can say with the Apostle Paul in Romans 5 and verse 1 that we have been justified by faith and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God we can say with Paul in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7 that we know the peace of God within our hearts that passeth all understanding. And thank God, dear believer in Christ, that we possess the Holy Spirit. We have the third person of the Blessed Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ dwelling within us, who bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of the Lord. And also, we have that wonderful possession of the Holy Spirit, who daily goes on with that ongoing work of sanctification within our souls, bringing us more and more into the image of Christ, bringing us more and more to be like Christ. And you know, that's the purpose of God for us. Yes, thank God we have been justified. Thank God we're accepted in the Beloved. But you know, the great purpose of God is to continue that ongoing work of sanctification within our souls, to bring us more and more into the image of Christ, to be more and more to be like Christ. That's God's desire. That's God's purpose for us. He wants us to be more and more like Christ. And you know, thank God, dear believer in Christ, that we are possessors of true and lasting satisfaction. As it says, even in the verse 9 of this chapter, it says, "For he satisfied the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness." And thank God that we are possessors of true and lasting satisfaction. You know, after the Lord Jesus Christ had fed the great multitude, the 5,000 plus, with the loaves and the fishes, and you know, he satisfied their physical needs, you know, he went on then to apply it in a spiritual sense, and to apply it to the people of God and what he does in satisfying the soul. He said in John 6 and verse 35, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth in me shall never thirst." And you know, he spoke there of the satisfaction that he gives to the soul of those who come to Christ, those who believe in Christ. "I am the bread of life. He that believeth in me shall never hunger. He that cometh to me shall never thirst." And you know, that's the experience of the child of God. We possess true and lasting satisfaction. And thank God, dear child of God, you know, we can feed upon the Lord daily. We can feed upon him daily. And how do we feed upon him? Well, he wants us to feed upon him, and he wants us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of him. And how are we enabled to do that? By using the means of grace that he has given to us. Now, there's many, many verses of Scripture which I could turn to, but the clock's going quicker than I am. So I'll just mention them. How important it is we're to feed upon the Lord, we're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Well, we must use the means of reading and hearing the Word of God. We must continue on in the Apostles' doctrine. I'll not turn to it, but you know where I'm referring to, most of you, I'm sure. Acts 2, verse 42. Remember, Peter preached. How important that was. He preached in regard to the person and work of Jesus Christ. We read that they were convicted. How important it is that sinners be convicted of their sin. We read that they were converted. We read that there were 3,000 souls converted, and we read that they continued on steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They read the Word of God. They heard the Word of God. And that enabled them to feed upon the Lord, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And could I just say to you how important it is to use those means that God has given to enable you to grow in grace and in the knowledge of him. How important it is to read the Word of God in your own home, to set aside a time each day in your own home to read the Word of God. How important it is to set aside a time each day to read the Word of God. And how important it is to come to the house of God to hear the Word of God being preached. This is God's means to enable you and I as believers in Christ to grow in grace and in the knowledge of him. To be in the meeting, every meeting that the Word is preached, to be there so that we will be able to feed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And how important it is to pray. In Acts 2:42, it talks about not only continuing on in the doctrine of the Word of God, but also in prayers. The very latter part of the verse that speaks about prayers. And you know, that's a way also of growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't know you had a week of prayer last week when I was thinking about this meeting. But thank God that you had a week of prayer. And how important it is to pray in your own home. Not only to set aside a time each day to read the Word, but also to set aside a time each day to pray. Did you read the Word this morning in your own home? Did you set aside a time this morning to pray? Do you read the Word of God in your own home every day? Do you pray in your own home every day? Do you pray for yourself? Do you pray for the work of God? Are you in the prayer meetings? Before the services? During the week? Were you there last week at the prayer meetings? Well, this is so, so important, because it is through doing that that you will be enabled to grow in grace and in the knowledge of your Saviour. You will be able to feed upon the Lord. To pray in your own home, to come to the house of God, to pray with God's people. And there's much to pray for. Let me just mention one thing in passing. This pulpit is vacant. You need a man to fill the vacancy. Now, I'm only here. I'm not a minister. I'm a visitation worker in Ballymena. I'm just here for 1 week. But you need a man here on a permanent basis. And you need to pray about it. Pray that the Lord will give you the right man, a spirit-filled man. It was prayed in the meeting this morning before we come to the service here about a spirit-filled man, a man chosen of God. And you need to pray about that, that the Lord himself will lead you and guide you. And you know, if we were looking at Acts 2:42, it talks about fellowship and how important it is not to forget the assembling of ourselves together with the people of God. It's important to have fellowship with God's people. That's part of growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To have fellowship with God's people. And of course, how important it is, if we think about Acts 2:42, the breaking of bread. That's another important aspect of growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. You know, it's not just an option. You know, well, that's all right for that person or that person to sit at the Lord's table. It's for every believer. If you're a believer in Christ, well, you should be sitting at the Lord's table. And if you're not, why are you not sitting at the Lord's table? You know, I can't understand why people don't sit at the Lord's table, because we're simply remembering what the Lord has done for us. And in remembering what he has done for us in his life and death and resurrection, remembering him in regard to the bread and his broken body and his blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. Well, when we think about that, it enables us to feed upon him, not in a physical sense, as the Romans talk about, but in a spiritual sense, where we feed upon him in the sense that we're feeding our souls, we're thinking upon what he has done for us. So just think about those things as we think about the satisfaction that the Lord gives to us and what we possess in him. But let me just say quickly that if you're in this meeting and you're not saved, well, you don't possess any of these things. You don't possess justification and sanctification. You have no satisfaction for your soul. And really, you have no right to sit at the Lord's table because you have nothing to remember. You can't pray. The only prayer that you can pray is the sinner's prayer. That's the most important prayer. But you can't pray to God unless you have come to Him and received Him as your own and personal Saviour. Then you can pray with God's people. You can grow in grace and in the knowledge of Him. So I leave that before you. You know, you need to come to Christ if you're not saved, if you're to possess all these great blessings that we have read about here even this morning. But thirdly and finally, we see here from Psalm 107, we are given a description of the child of God's paradise or place of habitation in the future. Look at Psalm 107 and the verse 7, please. We read, "And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation." Thank God, dear believer in Christ, that we have a bright future. Thank God one day that we're going to a city of habitation. You see, if we die, dear believer in Christ, before Christ returns again for the second time, well, for us who are believers in Christ, the soul will leave the body, and the soul will go to be with Christ. As Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, 21 and 23, it will be gain. It will be far better. And you know, as Hebrews 12 and 23 says, when the believer in Christ dies, that the soul leaves the body and goes to be with the spirits of just men and women made perfect. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, it will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. But you know, dear believer in Christ, it doesn't end there for us. Because not only has Christ purchased our souls, but Christ has also purchased our bodies. You see, the bodies are very, very important to Christ. Because we are made up of body and soul. And thank God for the believer in Christ when the Lord Jesus Christ returns again. That we will not only have a perfect soul, of course those who die in Christ, the moment they die, it's absent from the body and present with the Lord. They go to be with the spirits of just men and women made perfect. But thank God when the Lord returns again and at the resurrection, the believer will have a glorious body like unto Christ's glorious body. Listen to what it says, please, for the sake of time, Philippians 3, 20-21. "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body." Think about that, dear believer. We have trouble in these bodies now, haven't we? I know I have, anyway. I'm not getting any younger. When you get to 35 like me, you start to really feel it in your body. And you know, thank God one day that for the believer in Christ, we're going to have a glorious body, like unto his glorious body. As Revelation 21 and verse 4 says, there'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more death. For all the former things will have passed away. Thank God that we'll have a glorious body, like unto his glorious body. And listen to the great word of comfort that Paul gives in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Don't turn to it because for the sake of time, 13-18, he says, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus," speaking of the believer in Christ, "will God bring with him. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." What a wonderful word of comfort. Because it's speaking here of the resurrection, of course. is speaking of the resurrection of the believer in Christ in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain, there's going to be those believers who will be still upon this earth when the Lord returns. But together, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let me just, if you want to turn quickly to that, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where we read about the whole chapter, really, about the resurrection. And we read in verse 51 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." You see, there are those who will not die, believers in Christ, before Christ returns. They'll be upon this earth, but there will be those who will sleep in Christ. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You see the great blessing that we have, not only for our souls, but also for our bodies, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. Look quickly at Romans 8, please. Romans 8. And we read there in Romans chapter 8, and the verse 17, we'll not read all the verses, but we read there in verse 18, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Then it goes on to speak about creation, not only the physical creation, but also the creation of the people of God. And it tells us here in the verse 23, "And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body." When's that going to take place? It will take place when the Lord returns again. It will take place, and thank God that what will enter in at that time will be the new heavens and the new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And who will be in that new heavens and the new earth? A righteous people. How are they righteous? Well, if we had time to look at Revelation chapter 7, we would read of a great multitude that no man can number. And they are in this glorious place of the new heavens and the new earth. And why are they there? Because they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3, just in closing. 2 Peter chapter 3, where we read about the new heavens and the new earth. 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting on to the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." And thank God, dear believer in Christ, that we will enter in to the new heavens and the new earth, both body and soul, and we will be with the Lord forever and forever. But in closing, what about you who are in the meeting outside of Jesus Christ? You see, if you die in your sins, your soul will not go to paradise, but to perdition. You see, if you die in your sins, as Luke chapter 16 tells us, that your soul will go into the torments of hell. Luke 16:22 and 23, we read that very fact, that we read about the rich man who was rich towards himself. He was rich towards this world and sin, but he wasn't rich towards God. And we read that when he died, that his soul left the body. And he lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torments. You see the difference, the contrast, the great contrast. And you know, as far as the body and soul is concerned for the unbeliever in Christ, Revelation 20 and verse 15 says, whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We have read it already in various portions of Scripture. Revelation 21 and verse 8 speaks of those who do not come to Christ, that they will have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. I would exhort you today, if you're not saved, to come to Christ. If you want to talk to me, I'll be here. I'm in no big rush away. I know I'm not here to keep you back, but if you want to talk to me, I'll be glad to remain and to talk with you about these great issues. But thank God, in this passage of Scripture, even though we have a description of the child of God's position in the past, thank God that we have a description of the child of God's possessions and position in this very present time. And thank God we have a description of the paradise or the place of habitation that we will go to one day. But dear unsaved person, please think about these things. You have not these great possessions in Jesus Christ. And therefore, if you die in your sins, then you cannot go to where he is. You must go to the place where the devil is at this. Well, the devil is going to be there forever and ever. It's where the beast and the false prophet are at this present time. But Revelation 21 tells us that the devil is going to be cast into the lake of fire as well. And it tells us in Revelation 20 and verse 15 that whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts, even this morning. Maybe we could sing maybe a couple of verses just in closing. Thank you for your patience. Sorry for keeping you back this morning. Maybe sing a few verses just in 604. We're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. But some of you are out of Christ and held by many a snare. We cannot leave you lost alone. We want you over there. And we'll sing verses 1 and 4, please.